Father, as I speak, may these words become your words, and may you speak to each one of us in the way that we need to hear you speaking. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I imagine that for many of you, it's a very familiar story, the story of the man being let down through the roof by his friends. You might even have drawn pictures of it when you were in Sunday school, if you went to Sunday school, or maybe in your ordinary school when you perhaps were being taught things like that. And it's really interesting that very this early on in his ministry, Jesus had already attracted many, many people. So many, in fact, that the friends couldn't get in. And it was a problem for them. And there are two key words in this passage, which I think I'd never really thought about before, but they're very much to me the key words. One is the faith of the friends. They had to get to Jesus. They weren't put off by the crowd. They had to find a way of going there. So they climb up onto the roof, it would have been a flat roof obviously, and manage to sort of open up, and I suspect it's the hole where smoke would have come out, open up the hole and let the man down. Incredible faith of the friends. We know nothing about the man. We don't know whether he said, oh, please get me there, or whether they, being real friends, thought, we've heard about this man. We believe that he can actually restore you. It was incredible faith. And I think incredible friends as well, thinking about it. So they weren't put off by not being able to get there immediately. And they were confident in Jesus' ability. How easily are we put off by obstacles? Oh, I don't expect a miracle. I wonder if you've ever heard that. Perhaps you said to a friend, you know, I'll pray about that. Well, don't expect miracles. Well, why shouldn't we expect miracles? If we believe in a God who can do miracles, why shouldn't we expect them? I think time, you know, if we're not careful, we can so confine God to little things instead of taking on the bigger things. God is there to help us. And this healing is very different to any others, because instead of, well, it does. It's interesting, if you look through the healing miracles, they're all different. It's really interesting the different things that Jesus does. Each one is actually touching that person at their point of need. And so for each one of us, Jesus' touch will be different, because my need is different to your needs, because we're all individuals and God knows us. And the amazing thing is that God actually knows all our needs and can hold on to all those at the same time, which is something that we can't do, which is great. So, he says those words, son, your sins are forgiven. So forgiveness is the second key word. So, have you ever thought about, because I must admit I haven't really thought about this before, have you ever thought about why the first thing that Jesus says to the man, your sins are forgiven? Imagine that wasn't what the man expected. Imagine the man expected Jesus to put his hands on him and say, stand up and walk. But he didn't. Why didn't Jesus do that? Because Jesus went to the nub of the problem. Psalm 139, the psalmist says, you perceive my thoughts from afar, for a word is on my tongue, Lord. You know it completely. So Jesus knew what was at the heart of this man's problem. He knew what actually was causing the paralysis. Psychologists say there's nothing difficult in realizing that paralysis can be brought on by wrongdoing leading to guilt. Just read that again. Psychologists say there is nothing difficult in realizing that paralysis can, I want to emphasize the word can, be brought on by wrongdoing leading to guilt. I don't know, sometimes we talk about being paralyzed by fear, don't we? So why can't we imagine being paralyzed by guilt? So Jesus, being Jesus, able to diagnose perfectly what was the cause of his paralysis. So How seriously do we take sin? That's why we're sort of talking about lies to begin with. How seriously do we take them? I imagine those who are parents work hard to teach your children not to lie, to say, always tell me the truth and I won't be cross. We try to get them to tell the truth. But we tend to hide behind the little lie. But that affects our health. A simple lie turns into another lie to cause the to cover the first lie, another one to cover the second lie, and so on. And we can end up in a right mess. And it does affect us. And sin begins in the heart with thought, comes out in the mouth through words and then through deeds. It's something that starts deep inside us. And in a court of law, it can only deal with deeds, actions, except for libel and slander, I suppose you can call actions. It can't do with thoughts. It can't prosecute your thoughts. Well, I think I'm quite glad about that. But actually, it cannot prosecute our thoughts. But they need dealing with. And in Mark, further on, we have out of the heart, Jesus said, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. They all come out of the heart. And we need to recognise them. And I remember that I'd been in a very, very, very difficult situation, and someone had acted very unkindly, is probably the word to put, against me, and unjustly. And I was rightly, justly angry, and was very upset about it, and went on for quite a long time. And a friend said to me, and I think this is a true friend, she said to me, "You're getting very bitter." Me, getting bitter. And I went away and thought about it. And I thought, actually I am. I'm very bitter about this situation. Bitter because of the way it's affected me and my life. And he's getting away with it. And the more I thought about it and prayed about it, the only one that was suffering in this situation was me. Because he wasn't suffering. And actually, often that's the case, that the person who perhaps has hurt us doesn't possibly even realise they've hurt us. And we can carry the grudge. And the grudge can go on. And the grudge does not help us. And in fact, it wasn't easy for me to forgive him. But little by little, I began to realise that it actually wasn't hurting so much. And actually, I wasn't feeling so bitter. And actually, life began to be okay again. Because actually, by holding on to the grudge, I'm actually sinning against God. Because how can God forgive me if I'm not willing to forgive the person who's hurt me? And so, healing, that sort of healing can come from God alone, which Jesus was saying. It can't come from a court of law. Because what had happened to me, I couldn't have taken to a court of law. But actually, God can help me forgive him and move, so I move on. So, yes, Jesus said these words, if you like, simple words. But it arouses opposition. Now, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And Jesus knew exactly what they were saying. The teachers of the law, who some of you will know as the scribes, were professional religious men, the mixture, if you like, of solicitors, magistrates, teachers, etc. And their role was to give detailed guidance of the law. And in many ways, it's easier to be told what to do than have to work it out for yourself. If you know that's the right thing and you're willing to do it, it's much easier, isn't it, than having to think about it yourselves. So it's, yes, but with God, we're in a relationship with him. And in fact, yes, there are rules and regulations to read, to do, to follow. But actually, we have to make decisions for ourselves. We have choices. Something, if you like abortion, is not written in the Bible. We have to think about applying the law, applying God's law. How does this work out? There are so many situations, if you like, which are not as black and white as we'd like to think. But then we have to turn to God and ask through the Holy Spirit for guidance in that situation. But the scribes, it was all that did it that way. And they didn't like it that Jesus was saying, your sins are forgiven. They believed rightly that only God could forgive sins. That, they were right about that bit. But they weren't recognizing that Jesus was the Son of God. So they say he's blaspheming. He was also a challenge to our authority. They weren't challenged by the healing, but they were a bit challenged by this upstart, a carpenter coming from this city, this place of Nazareth. He was not trained. He wasn't a rabbi. He was a man from nowhere. He was starting some new teachings, using his own authority. Because he said, why are you thinking these things? Was it easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. I want you to know. He was trying to tell them, but they weren't willing to listen. And so he then says to the man, get up, pick up your mat and go home. Because I believe if he hadn't actually said, your sins are forgiven, the paralysis, he might have got up and walked the first time, but the paralysis would have come back because the problem was still there. Jesus had to deal with the problem. It's a bit like, isn't it, if you've got a boil or something, you actually have to lance it to let the poison out before the skin can recover. So that's what Jesus had to do. But the scribes didn't like it. And they were unwilling to recognize who Jesus was. And as I say, Jesus proved that what he'd done by the man getting up and telling him to walk. And the people, we've never seen anything like this. It was wonderful. But had they taken on board totally what Jesus said? But had they just reacted to the fact this man was now walking, this man had been paralyzed? And you can't have Jesus just as a great man or as a preacher or a teacher, a healer. He was either what he said, the Son of Man, with authority on earth to forgive, or he was a blasphemer. It's black or white. It's either he was who he said he was, or he was a blasphemer. And they had to make a choice. So, sadly, the teachers of the law can't take on board what he's trying to say. There's new ways of doing things. So, he's a blasphemer, and so he needs to die. So begins very early on the plot which leads Jesus eventually to the cross, because they're not willing to listen. Did they realize what they were refusing? Do people we know who perhaps haven't turned to Jesus realize what they are refusing? And if you look at that passage from Ephesians, which talks about the spiritual blessings, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the richness of God's grace that he has lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he has been made known to us the mysteries of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Have we totally accepted that? Have we totally accepted all the spiritual blessing that are to be had in following Jesus? Or are there times when we want to take some steps back? And so reading that passage from Ephesians makes me feel really sad for the teachers of the law. They had no idea of what they were refusing. They believed they were right with God. They believed by sort of ticking that they've done all these laws and obeyed them, that they were right with God. They hadn't got to the fundamental thing of having a relationship with God, with choosing to follow him. And I believe as we choose to follow him, we do actually obey the laws, because we know that they're there for our guidance and our help and our protection. It's not because we're forced to do it. Like, I always think, if you like, of driving on the left-hand side of the road. I imagine that those of you who drive or cycle do stick to the laws of the road. If ever you've been to, I can think particularly, I remember one in Pakistan, the first time I saw it, when there was actually, I think they were meant to drive on the left-hand side of the road, but they didn't. It was all over the place. And it felt, I wasn't driving, but just being a pedestrian, it was a nightmare. They're there for our protection. My secondary school, we had concrete steps, and the school was on different levels. And I remember prefects stood at the half landings to make sure we didn't run up the steps two at a time. And if you did, you had to go back down again. But it was there for our protection, because if we fell on those concrete steps, we could do ourselves a damage. So I believe if we actually say yes to Jesus, we want to do the right thing. But sadly, because we're human, we don't always do the right thing. But the thing is, when we recognise it, we can say sorry to God. And sometimes the things are so big that maybe we don't totally accept that we're forgiven. But God says, we turn to him. Our sins are forgiven. That's the whole point of the cross. But do we actually believe that? Do I recognise that, yes, God has forgiven me? Yes, I've made a mess. He knows I've made a mess. But he wants me to start again. And I see it like a whiteboard or a blackboard, that God, just my sins are on, if you like, the things I've done that have upset God and caused problems. He then wipes them out. And I can start again. And actually what we've got to do is accept that we are forgiven. Because so many don't totally accept. They say, I'm sorry, Lord, I've come to you, I'm sorry. And then it's a bit like carrying a suitcase, if you like, up to the holy table, putting it down, receiving the forgiveness, and then picking the suitcase up and walking back with it. We actually have to accept that God is big enough to accept our forgiveness. And the one that I've probably quoted here before is Myra Hindley, the Moors murderess, who committed the most awful crimes. We're told, I don't know if it's true, but I'll believe it, we're told that she came to faith. And I believe that if she did, that Jesus said, I forgive you. I forgive you. Doesn't take away what she did or the hurt that she caused people. But he could say to her, I forgive you. Because that's the point of the cross. Because if God said, no, sorry, Mara, your sins are so awful, no, I can't forgive you. What does that say about the power of the cross? It's not that powerful, is it? But the power of the cross is to give each one of us, whatever we've done, as long as we're willing to recognise what we've done, and when we can, to put it right, then that's the end of it as far as God is concerned. And we need to remember it. So, how strong and how deep is your faith? Are you willing to persevere when you're facing difficult situations, difficult facts, difficult people? Are you willing to persevere? Are you willing to be like the friends who were willing to push their way through the crowd, go up the steps to the side of the house, and let their friend in through the roof? Are we prepared to go on? Are we prepared to realise that actually being a Christian does not mean roses all the way? That we will face obstacles because we live in a non-Christian world. But Jesus has promised through the Holy Spirit he'll always be with us. And I've got a poster at home which has got a kitten. It's a basket with a big handle. and the kitten is holding on to the handle with the front paws, and it says, faith isn't faith until it's all you're hanging on to. I thought, actually, that's something, isn't it? When the chips are down, am I prepared to just hang on to Jesus that somehow, I can't see how, but somehow he'll bring me through this awful situation, this difficulty, and he's there with me through it. And so are we also to accept that forgiveness means forgiveness and the need for sorry, to realise the crippling effect of unforgiveness, the resentment, to forgive anyway, and to appreciate all the spiritual blessings we have if we say yes to Jesus. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of faith. Help us to accept that following you isn't always easy, but through your Holy Spirit, I promised always to be with us. Help us always to accept there are times when we mess up and need to ask for forgiveness, as well as forgiving others when they hurt us. Thank you for the many ways that you bless us. Amen.